Okay, up next we have the Downtown El Paso Historic District.
And Mark, if you wish to speak at this time.
That
Yes,
would be good timing. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, there may be some, you may be hearing some opposition to this nomination. So I just wanted to provide some information before this presentation begins. This state review board is constituted in compliance with Section 101B1B of the National Historic Preservation Act of 1966. The role of the board is defined in federal regulations at 36 CFR 60.6J. Quote, the State Review Board shall determine whether or not the property meets the National Register criteria for evaluation and make a recommendation to the State Historic Preservation Officer to approve or disapprove the nomination. That is your sole responsibility here to determine whether or not the property meets the National Register criteria. According to 36 CFR 60.6K, nominations approved by the State Review Board and the comments received are then reviewed by the State Historic Preservation Officer. And if he or she finds the nominations to be adequately documented and technically, professionally, and procedurally correct and sufficient, and in conformance with National Register criteria for evaluation, the nominations are submitted to the keeper of the National Register of Historic Places, the National Park Service. So that's my responsibility, looking at procedural correctness and sufficiency, among other things. 36 CFR 60.6N goes on to say, if the owner of a private property or the majority of such owners for a district or single property with multiple owners have objected to the nomination prior to the submittal, and that's prior to my submittal of the nomination to the National Park Service, the State Historic Preservation Officer shall submit the nomination to the keeper only for a determination of eligibility. So that property count, owner count, will be made before the nomination is submitted to the Park Service. Either way, if in fact you and I agree the nomination is otherwise adequate, it still goes to the Park Service. It goes for a determination of eligibility rather than for designation if the property count works out that way. And I'm saying this, you may or may not be aware that a lawsuit was filed against the Texas Historical Commission yesterday by some of the owners of properties in this proposed district in an effort to stop this process. In accordance with federal law, this process will continue. It is possible that a majority of property owners might object to the nomination, but making that determination isn't necessary at this stage of the process. You should continue to review the merits of the nomination and make your recommendation as federal law requires. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Mark. And would the THC staff like to proceed with the presentation?
I sure will, and I will share my screen. Let me try that again. Hold on. Okay. Some reason I can't see my own screen, so hold on. I'm sorry, I'm having some technical issues here. I'm not able to open up the file.
Greg, it's Bonnie. Do you want me to share my screen? Because I can open it.
Yeah, this is strange. Sorry. It shows the program is open. Let me try this again. For some reason, it just doesn't want to. Yeah, why don't you try it? You have access to the same file?
Yeah, I've got it open.
All right.
All right, can you see it?
Yeah, that looks good. Thanks.
Okay, just tell me when to move forward.
Okay. All right, let's do that. All right. Sorry for that. I just want to note that we have received about 20 letters regarding this historic district. A lot of them came in yesterday. We also received 60 letters of objection from unique owners. It's not quite a majority of property owners. We have on record a list of 155 unique owners that are private property owners. Those are the ones that are counted. I just want to note that we shared all this correspondence with members of the board. Particularly note a letter from former Mayor Margot, whose term ended on January 5th, citing an objection to the nomination, along with the Chamber of Commerce and the Downtown Management District. Other letters that we received, the bulk of them were in favor, including from two city council members, El Paso County Judge Samaniego, State Senator Rodriguez. We've received a letter from the city preservation officer indicating that the Historic Landmark Commission voted to approve the nomination by a vote of 6-0. And as I mentioned, we received so far 60 letters of objection from unique property owners, not quite a majority of property owners, about 3/5 by our estimation. Okay. All right. So I'm going to make the presentation and Bonnie will move the slides forward. So this nomination was prepared by Emily Payne, Christina Kupferschmidt, and Aaron Tyson of HHM for the County of El Paso, Texas. The 144-acre district is about 1,000 feet from the Rio Grande and includes the Central Business District and the historic Duranguito Barrio to the west. Slide, please.
Hey, Greg, I have no image.
You can't see this?
No, I can hear you and I can see your name, but I have no image. I don't know if anybody else has that problem.
I can see Bonnie's screen.
I can see it.
Okay. All right. Shall I proceed? All right.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Commercial properties make up the bulk of the resources, but the district also contains significant government, transportation, landscape, and residential resources that reflect its diverse history and architectural development. Next. Most buildings stand between 1 and 4 stories, but the district also contains high rises, many of these historic high rises. Slide. Construction dates span the period of significance, but more than half of the resources were built between 1900 and 1930. Slide. The district contains a variety of building forms and architectural styles that reflect its periods of development and the diverse communities that influenced its growth. In Duranguito, some of the oldest buildings showcase adobe construction and Spanish and Mexican vernacular building tradition. Slide. Other buildings reflect popular 20th century Anglo-American building trends, including numerous period styles, also styles in a modern mode, including the Art Deco. The district contains a large concentration of high style buildings, as well as significant examples of works by important architects. Slide. Integrity overall is high, but due to age and commercial nature of most of the buildings, alterations are common. These reflect continued use and offer a better understanding of the district's evolution. Very common in commercial buildings everywhere to have changes made at the storefront level. And that's particularly the case here in El Paso. Slide. The district has 267 properties, all but five are buildings, of which 75% are contributing, including 21 buildings that are already individually listed in the National Register. Slide. The district is nominated under Criterion A in the areas of ethnic history, community planning and development, and commerce. Slide. The area of ethnic history acknowledges El Paso's diverse demographic past, as well as the ongoing cultural traditions of El Paso. Throughout history, downtown has reflected the intersecting cultures, development patterns, and commercial opportunities. And here in this engraving from 1886, you can see the nascent downtown commercial district. In the left center of this particular slide, you can also see the Rio Grande, which is, of course, the boundary between the United States and Mexico. Slide. The district is nominated in the area of community planning and development because the original plat drew from both Spanish and Mexican land development traditions and Anglo-American spatial thinking. In the early 20th century, urban planner George Kessler created a comprehensive plan that refined and enhanced the original plat to reflect the city beautiful tastes of the day. Slide. The district is nominated in the area of commerce because it reflects the long history of business and trade in downtown El Paso. The district's earliest development in the 1850s was driven by investors seeking to profit from trade routes converging in El Paso. Slide. The 1925 plan reinforced the district's commercial character, encouraging new high-rise development. And here you can see buildings from the 20s, 50s, 1960s. Slide. The district is nominated under Criterion C in the area of architecture because its buildings reflect the styles, forms, materials, and construction techniques representative of the American commercial vernacular, the City Beautiful movement, and the mid-20th century modern movement. Slide. Architect Henry C. Trost, who defined the character of the City Beautiful movement in El Paso, designed 24 buildings that are extant within the district. And you can see the variety in these four slides showing his skill, master of numerous styles. And he was also a proponent of technological advances, especially in the use of structural concrete. Slide. During the mid-century era, the local firm of Carroll and Dobble created five exceptional examples of modern work within the district, including the public library, the Civic Center, the El Paso National Gas Building. The El Paso Natural Gas Building was listed individually a few years ago, and it's been rehabilitated utilizing the state and federal tax credits. Slide. The period of significance dates from 1859, when the town was first platted, through 1971, reflecting the ongoing cultural and commercial activities within the district. The potential for subsurface archaeological evidence of earlier human activity in the area does exist and is being explored by numerous scholars and historians, but archaeology is not within the scope of this nomination. I just want to end by showing you a few slides. These are all from the nomination, and as you can imagine, the nomination, if you haven't read it, it's dense. There's a lot of information. There's nearly 60 slides, and so I just want to show you just a sampling of the variety of buildings within the district. So South Satin Street and East San Antonio Avenue facing west, this just gives you an indication of just the density of the city. This is one of the great urban, historic urban city centers in the state of Texas. It's on par with all the other great cities. There are transportation related resources, including El Paso Union Station, which anchors the district on the west. The railroad tracks run along the north side of the district. They don't quite mark the boundary of the district. The tracks are included. Next. This is Montgomery Building on South El Paso. This is the only building left in El Paso's downtown area with a false front on it. So still a lot of 19th century resources are still present. Slide. Just a typical two-part commercial block with a very good degree of integrity. As you'll see, you know, there are awnings. There's not necessarily historic signage attached. Changed out storefronts, which is common in commercial districts. Next. State National Bank. So it's a lot of premier examples of Beaux-Arts design. Next. Industrial design too is represented, especially on the in the western portion of the district, the Walker Tire and Rubber Company being one example. Concrete frame with brick infill, typical of early 20th century industrial construction throughout the state, throughout the country. Next. Just some slides from Duranguito so you can see them close up. This is where the majority of the residential resources are, including apartment buildings and rooming houses. Next. And more apartments in Duranguito. Next. Two houses, a bungalow type and a very small apartment building. Next. Fire station, this is at the edge of Duranguito, Art Deco design. Next. Adobe residence, sometimes surprising to find in a modern urban city center to see Adobe buildings still standing. Next. Some federal buildings, the Federal Reserve Bank and the US Post Office building are both within this district, although a lot of the governmental buildings are on the east side of downtown and they are not included within the boundary of this district. Next. And then just some examples of the work of Henry Trost, the Caples Building. And many of these are already individually listed in the National Register. So we have the Caples Building. Next. Palace Theater, exuberant Moorish design. Again, the work of Henry Trost. Next. Popular department store, one of Trost's early experiments in structural concrete. Next. And the Abdu Building. Next. The Crest Building, one of the best examples of Art Deco commercial building, department store. A series of a chain of stores that were throughout the South. Last time we were visiting El Paso, there was work being done in the hopes of rehabbing this building. Next. And then some of the modern buildings include the Blue Flame, Downtowner Motel, Wells Fargo Building. Next. And then these are examples of non-contributing buildings. Most of the non-contributing buildings have either they're old buildings that have been modified to a point where they're not recognizable as being historic, or they are new buildings. These are generally relatively small in scale. And again, it's about 25% of all the properties in the district are non-contributing. Next. And that's it for my presentation. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Greg. And I do see that there are a number of people in attendance who have their hands raised who would like to speak on behalf of the nomination. I will just ask that you please keep your comments brief so we can get through the agenda of the meeting today, about a minute, if you wouldn't mind. And I will go through the list and just call on you individually. And if there's anyone who can speak for a group of you, if you feel that that's sufficient, that would also be helpful in this circumstance, I believe. So I'll just go through the list as I see it here. Paul Foster.
Okay. Thank you. I've been trying to unmute and turn my camera on and it won't let me, but good morning. And it's my pleasure to address this honorable commission. And I thank you for the opportunity to address you this morning. I own 25 properties in the proposed downtown El Paso Historic District. I've restored several buildings to historic standards, including most recently the beautiful Plaza Hotel at Pioneer Park. I've also restored the Mills and Center buildings and have constructed two large parking garages using historic standards. And as you mentioned, I also have the Crest building that we're beginning to work on. I have a great appreciation and commitment to historic preservation in downtown El Paso. As appropriate, I will continue to invest in the restoration of other properties in my portfolio. However, the proposed overlay over 267 plus properties in downtown El Paso will have an adverse impact on many properties where historic preservation is neither appropriate nor feasible. Unbeknownst to the Historic Commission, or the Honorable Commission, excuse me, the process for nomination of this district occurred with no direct notice to the affected property owners. As is evident from the objections received over a 5-day period, most of the property owners were not aware of the nomination until this week. No information concerning the proposal was readily available on the nominator's website, nor were any public meetings involving the affected property owners held at any time. I would also like to point out that I believe that given adequate advance notice, we would have been able to gather objections from far in excess of 50% of the owners. In fact, I'm aware of 72 objection letters that have been delivered to the commission, and those 72 objection letters represent 175 properties, which is 66% of the properties subject to the overlay. It feels as if this process has been conducted under a shroud of secrecy, and in my opinion, the vast majority of property owners will object if presented with the facts and enough time to adequately consider the consequences. Additionally, the nomination of the El Paso Downtown Historic District is different from other nominations you're considering today. This is because the approval of the nomination will subject the property owners to local historic preservation regulations. If approved by this commission under the current El Paso City Code, all 267 properties would be required to submit plans for any and all renovations to the El Paso Historic Landmark Commission for a certificate of appropriateness. This burdensome and costly regulation will be placed on landowners without an opportunity to be heard, and in many cases will have been imposed upon them without their knowledge. I think you will agree with me that this is inherently wrong. I respectfully request that this commission table this item until the nominator has conducted open and transparent discussions with the property owners. And as I stated, I very much appreciate this opportunity to address the commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Foster. And I will note that THC did follow notification procedures, including a public meeting, just for the record. Okay. And again, if you could all please, I'm just going to go back to my list here. Please keep your commentary brief. Next on my list is Cynthia Renteria. Are you with us today?
Yes. Good morning. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you. Yes.
Good morning. So I represent a grassroots organization that works in large part against the demolition and erasure of history. Paso del Sur congratulates the efforts of the Texas State Historic Commission and the State Board of Review for your work in recognizing the, and preserving historic sites throughout Texas. So thank you so much for letting me speak today. Today, as you review the Downtown El Paso Historic District nomination, we encourage you to recognize the historical importance of the residential area within the district. Any entity mandated to protect and preserve the state's historic and prehistoric resources for the use of education, enjoyment, and economic benefit of the present and future generations must treasure both the architectural and cultural legacy of downtown El Paso. The designation of Duranguito as part of this historical district will certainly confirm This in the face of efforts to erase a vibrant community, its buildings, and history. The city of El Paso has taken possession of precious sites and can now allow the residents to continue living their lives with dignity while channeling our resources to enhance the diverse character of the history of Duranguito. Paso del Sur is committed to the history of our region, as well as the residents who are living, who are themselves living history in our city. While this nomination will bring benefits to many property owners, we also look to the state and to the city to ensure that residents will remain in their community. While celebrating your efforts to confirm the multicultural history of our downtown buildings, that our downtown buildings represent, we encourage you to consider the original residents of this area in your plans. So for us, Duranguito represents not only a physical historic place, but a place where its residents are themselves living history, have contributed in many generations that were presented in today's packet. And we hope to see this area preserved, not just for property owners, but for all El Pasoans, because this is everyone's history. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. And I do have about 8 more people to speak. So if you could please be brief. Up next, I see David Michael Jerome. Are you with us today?
Yes, I am. Hello, I'm David Jerome with the El Paso Chamber. The El Paso Chamber itself is 121 years old, and we represent over 1,400 business members, and about 220,000 of them are represent employees as well, and about $10 billion in commerce for El Paso. And let me just say, too, is I want to stipulate everything that was said by Mr. Foster already, so I'll keep it brief based on that. But let me also just say that we fully appreciate the Commission's mission of preserving our cultural heritage and agree with it in most instances. However, for El Paso at this point, we believe that your intent and processes are not being fully served. In El Paso, historic preservation has, over the last 7 years, morphed into a very highly political tool directed not entirely at preservation, but rather at halting important economic development and quality of life projects like the arena. And now with this overlay, this misuse has been extended to the Union Plaza, beyond the Union Plaza arena, pardon me, to a much wider footprint of businesses. Politics, costly court cases, and inadequate administration processes are now beginning to become the hallmarks of historic preservation in El Paso. We ask this group that to return to the core mission of historic preservation and reconfigure this whole process we could to permit proper review and with your already high standards. So that would be my comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Miguel Fernandez. Mr. Fernandez, are you with us today?
Yes, I am. I was just trying to mute. I was having a difficult time doing so. Hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Miguel Fernandez. I own 7 different properties in downtown El Paso, specifically 4 of them in what is called the Duranguito area. I am the single largest investor in Duranguito so far. I've been there for over 17 years. And I can tell you that the development of the area is a key, putting these overlay into the area will be a key detriment to the area because it will make things more difficult for people who already have a difficult time developing that specific area. Most property owners in El Paso have a difficult time economically to be able to develop any of these buildings. And if you walk around the area, you'll see that there's been no investment, significant investment, to try to upkeep these properties. And so I believe, and if you look at the work that we've done, we've been working very hard to try to restore whatever we can that is restorable. But this overlay, I think, would result in actually being counterproductive to the properties that could be restored. And so you'd be forcing, you know, the future of El Paso, most of downtown El Paso, that consists of deteriorating, dilapidated properties to stay that way for years to come. And so that's why I object to this historic overlay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And just a couple of points for the rest of you who have your hands raised. If you feel that anyone, any previous speaker has adequately spoken for you, please keep in the interest of time, please keep in mind the option of not speaking today. And I would also ask that all speakers, please limit your comments to the merits of the nomination alone. And for those of you who have spoken, if you would please lower your hand in the chat function, that would be greatly appreciated. Okay, Adam Frank, are you here today?
Good morning, can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes, sir.
Well, thank you for conducting this meeting this morning, and I appreciate the opportunity to address this group. I'm happy to talk about properties that we own, River Oaks Properties in downtown El Paso. And again, I'd like to echo some of the previous comments. We own currently 7 properties in the proposed district, and I am extremely opposed to what is being drafted and proposed as this historic overlay. I am 100% in favor of historic preservation. And as Paul and Miguel and David Jerome have all said, there's been great success in downtown El Paso over the last few years with lots of great preservation taking place. Our properties, River Oaks Properties, are single-story general merchandise stores. Unfortunately, you didn't show any of them in the presentation, but I can tell you, due to many factors along downtown El Paso, along the border, considering what's going on with COVID and the border closure, downtown retail is suffering in a great, great way and has been for the last few years. It's unfortunate that this proposal wants to put additional burden on a property owner, and ultimately it will fall on the tenants who will have to bear the costs and deal with what will happen if there is an overlay on a general merchandise store, which I don't think is appropriate. So at this point, I would say I agree with what was said previously, that I don't feel the proper notice was given to all the property owners. I found out at the very last minute. And at this point, I would recommend that everyone take a step back. We gather all the information and see what should be proceeded as far as if this makes sense. In my opinion, it does not make sense because the district is way too large. There are certain properties, like I said, that will definitely benefit from an overlay, and most of them have already taken upon that on their own. So speaking on behalf of River Oaks Properties, I would like to recommend that this item be postponed until there's further discussion amongst the downtown owners. Thank you for listening to me.
Okay, thank you very much. Sam Rodriguez, are you here today?
Yes, good morning, members of the board. Sam Rodriguez, city engineer for the city of El Paso. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. As Mr. Smith noted to you, former city mayor did send a letter to the board asking for a postponement of this item in order to allow us to negotiate and for have further discussions with the county for the modification of the boundary to exclude the MPC footprint, which some of the callers have referred to as Duranguito in this area. one of the things that we've been working very closely and hard here at the city, part of our strategic plan is to invest in our historic buildings in downtown to where we have incentivized multiple developments in our downtown area to include historic buildings as well. One of the things that has been very challenging for us at the city has been the collaboration efforts and collaborative approach that we received as part of this effort. Back in September, on behalf of the city council, we sent a letter to the county asking for a boundary modification for discussions where we did not receive a formal response from the county government. And it presents a challenge because, as some of the callers noted, we still have a city code that provides oversight over the historic National Historic Districts that we still need to resolve as part of this ongoing effort. What the city council has asked as a formal action is for the postponement of this item so that we can continue discussions with property owners in the county for the collective good, because they do support the Downtown Historic District, the city council does, but not including the MPC footprint. And that's their formal request that we're presenting to you today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. And I will note that the National Register designation imposes no restrictions on property owners. Those receiving grant assistance or federal tax projects, tax credits, excuse me, for rehabilitation projects, however, do need to adhere to certain standards. Private property can be listed unless a majority of owners object prior to listing. All right, so I believe we have six people left. Again, if you could please keep your comments as brief as possible. Danielle Quesada.
Good morning, members of the State Board of Review. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Great. My name is Daniela Quesada. I'm the Chief City Architect for the City of El Paso, and I'm here to talk about the findings of a recent building assessments conducted by the city over the last 4 weeks. As iterated earlier, the City of El Paso does support the Downtown Historic District, however, without the inclusion of the buildings within the MPC project footprint. This area is currently closed off due to the buildings being partially demolished and being unsafe structures. And so we are respectfully requesting the reconsideration of these buildings within the district boundary. Now, the current conditions of the damaged buildings within the MPC show that these have had broad damage. They've been substantially altered, therefore warranting a reevaluation of their integrity as contributing structures. The assessment also shows they are no longer suitable nor secure for any type of use without extensive rehabilitation efforts, which at this time would be cost prohibitive. Now, unfortunately, the MPC site will have to remain closed because it is ongoing litigation and the city cannot take any action at this time. And because of this, the site will continue to be a blight in the neighborhood indefinitely. The report includes detailed photographs that shows the five assessed buildings that have not been occupied for several years, which has also caused additional damage by neglect. For example, 315, 309, and 305 Chihuahua Street all have had damage to the structural exterior walls, leaving the buildings open to unwanted entry, continued vandalism, and unsafe debris throughout the site. 306 Overland has had extensive damage by both fire and water, leaving the interior structure and roof compromised entirely, to the point the assessment team could not even enter most parts of the building to complete the assessment. Similarly, 212 Overland has had water damage to the roof and has had, which has extended to the structure and ceiling. One can see the roof beams actually bowing at the center of one enters. So in summary, the city is a proponent of both the MPC project and the historic district designation. However, we recognize there is a great opportunity to push this initiative as a joint venture with all affected entities involved, collaborating for the collective good. And given the latest assessment that's provided to the board, the City of El Paso respectfully asks for a postponement on a decision today so that the buildings within the MPC footprint be reevaluated in order to determine integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association in accordance with the Code of Federal Regulations, and also to give the city adequate time to collaborate with El Paso County. I thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you very much. And I will note that the board will discuss the merits of the nomination, including the integrity of properties. Okay, so I believe we have four more people to speak. Mark Osborne.
Let's try it again. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Great. Chairman Bowman and board members, I am Mark Osborne. I'm an attorney in El Paso. I represent 9 of the property owners who filed suit yesterday against the THC. I want you all to be aware of that. And I want to tell you, their interest is not in filing a lawsuit or bringing a suit. Their request is that you postpone this consideration. And let me explain why. There has been, I believe, completely inadvertent and unintentional, but nevertheless misleading information supplied by virtually all of the governmental entities regarding this nomination, including Chairman Bowman yourself just a few moments ago. I don't believe any of that's intentional, but what you all have all consistently said, and let me read from the county judge's letter to your chair, to your board yesterday.
Sir, if I may, I'm sorry. I just wanted to note that the board did receive all documentation and this received all of this yesterday, and this doesn't need to be discussed.
Actually, it does, Chairman. Here's what it says. Federally recognized historic districts are considered honorary and do not impose any additional restrictions or requirements on property owners. That's exactly the statement you just made. And in your own website, the THC's website regarding National Register for Historic Places, there's a frequently asked questions section. How does listing affect my property? Very same statement. It has no impact on individual property owners unless you choose to take advantage of different benefits like tax benefits. Those are all misstatements and incorrect factual legal statements that have misled the property owners. Your notice that you posted regarding that.
Okay, I apologize, but this is documentation that we have received previously and we do have to move forward. Max Grossman. Mr. Grossman, are you with us today?
Can you hear me this morning?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. I just want you to note, sir, that there are several more speakers who are waiting to have their turn to speak, and they're unable to raise their hands or have other technical issues, but they're all present as participants. If you could kindly indulge them as well.
Thank you very much. We will, I'll ask if there's anyone else to speak as I get through the people who have their hands raised. Just as a reminder, we do have a long agenda, so we do need to keep going. But thank you.
Thank you, sir. My name is Max Grossman. I hold a PhD in architectural history. I'm on the Board of Preservation Texas, as well as the Trove Society in El Paso. I have followed this process for many, many years, and there has not been any substantive opposition until now. I'm talking about the last few days, which is really quite stunning. And of course, this lawsuit, I'm not certain what its aim is, but I find that quite disturbing. In any case, I want to point out that some of those who oppose this project are developers who are actually benefiting from the state and federal tax credits for their own projects. And it's our hope to see that those same benefits, those same tax credits will be made available to hundreds of other property owners throughout downtown. And of course, we all know that this project will not regulate anybody unless they take advantage of those tax credits. Our detractors do note a statute that is on the city books that the HLC and the HPO have been trying to strike for 2 years, strangely with opposition from the city. And that statute purportedly regulates property owners who own properties in the National Register. It's never been enforced. It never will be enforced. And key people in the city have announced that, and it's never been enforced. In any case, the county judge submitted a letter making very clear that property owners were notified legally per the law. You have to be hiding under a rock not to know about this project in El Paso. It's been publicized for many, many years and has very, very broad support in the community and historical organizations throughout the city, state, and even nationally. One final word, Duranguito, 13 of those properties are in the so-called arena footprint. They've been deemed to be contributing, including with the windshield survey that was published just this past August. And I find it amazing that Daniela Quezada, the city architect, would point out that the buildings have been neglected all these years when it was the city that authorized their partial demolition and then allowed them to sit there neglected while everybody complains about it, hoping that they'll prop up the properties and seal them from the elements. So there really is a lot of misinformation, but it's certainly not coming from the county. Again, this has very broad support, and I and many, many others are hopeful that the Honorable State Board of Review will support this nomination and send it on to the federal government. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. And for the few of you who are remaining to speak, I would just like to remind you that we only need discussion on the merits of the nomination itself. I mean, we are fully aware that this is a hot button issue and that there are a lot of separate opposing opinions involved. So please keep your commentary brief and please keep it toward the merits of the nomination only. Thank you very much. David Stout.
Can you all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to address you all today. My name is David Stout, and I'm the El Paso County Commissioner that represents Precinct 2, which includes downtown El Paso. And I am here today to emphatically support El Paso County's proposal to have our beautiful and historic downtown nominated as a historic district on the National Register for Historic Places. You know, I began working on this endeavor back in late 2015, my first year in office, when El Paso City Council abruptly halted their proposal to move forward with a historical architectural survey that would serve as a basis for this nomination. They did, even though Texas Historic Commission had offered to help pay for nearly half of the cost. Many of us were dumbfounded as to why the city opted not to move forward, but with the help of the preservationist community in early 2016, I was able to convince my colleagues on the El Paso County Commissioner's Court to unanimously support taking up this effort on our end. Unfortunately, the process has taken a bit longer than we had hoped due to a number of issues that I don't have time to get into here, but they're in a letter that I sent to y'all. But in August of 2020, we finalized and published our survey. And as a result, as you all see, we discovered that El Paso's core has close to 1,000 historic structures, of which nearly 200 could be placed on the National Register for Historic Places individually. This is one of the largest historic concentrations of historic assets in the American Southwest. The original plan was to create one large district. However, after consultation with Mr. Greg Smith and Hardy Heck and Moore, our consultants, it was decided the best opportunity for inclusion of as many buildings as possible within the boundaries of a district within a historic designation by the NRHP would be to create two smaller districts with larger concentrations of historic properties. And after much, much debate and much public input, we decided to create the boundaries of the district that we are proposing and putting forth today. I wanna make sure that you understand that our outreach process has been very thorough, discussing all details that have gone into this proposal during numerous public meetings over a 5-year span, as well as holding meetings for property owners and reaching out to them individually. As a result of our outreach to property owners, we did not receive any opposition from them whatsoever up until, I guess, the last couple of days, the opposition that you have received. And we also, I wanna make sure you understand, have been in constant contact with the city and its staff for the same 5 years and very transparently apprising them of all the details involved in every step we have taken. We have actually collaborated with them on a number of occasions, and we waited nearly 2 years. We put this on hold for nearly 2 years for them to take action on this ordinance that has been brought up that is unenforceable. But we decided to take the step because this is a very important project for me, for the county, and it's the testament to that is that, though it's taken time and we have faced barriers, we didn't give up. And here we are again asking you to help us take the final important steps towards making this historic district a reality. We have spent countless hours and hundreds of thousands of dollars to get where we are right now, and we hope that it's been worth it. Not just because of the effort put forth on my or the county's behalf, but because it has truly been a community effort. A vast number of people from so many different backgrounds that have made phone calls, written letters, emails, and shown up to wait hours and then in public meetings for their turn to speak in support of this project, even if it's only for 3 minutes. You know, they've been waiting very patiently because they know how important the history and the is, not only for this community, but for our state and country, especially as demographics trend towards greater populations of people of color, most notably those of Hispanic descent. You know, and we've heard talk about the Duranguito area, which holds great historic significance for indigenous Spanish, Mexican, and even Chinese cultures that helped shape El Paso. This neighborhood, as well as others in our city's core, provide numerous examples of the stories about those cultures that make our community unique. You know, it's important that we understand that this neighborhood is trying to be erased. It's happening right now. The city of El Paso has been intent upon destroying the neighborhood in order to replace it with a D-League basketball arena since 2016. And based on non-expert opinion, they argue that there is no history worth saving. They continue to gaslight the public and by making this claim, knowing full well that they commissioned a study in 1998, which showed, in fact, there are many historic assets. And in addition, after conducting our windshield study survey in 2020 as part of the county's process in applying for this historic district nomination, our expert consultants, Hardy Heck and Moore, tell us as well that there are actually 13 historic buildings in Duranguito. The city nevertheless decided to take part in illegally attempting to demolish a number of those buildings in 2017 after a court ruled they should not be touched, and five of the 13 buildings sustained damage. By doing so, they got themselves into a protracted legal battle with local preservationists that has lasted more than 3 years and remains unresolved. All of this is important to understand because it seems to have led to the recently ousted former mayor to oppose the inclusion of Duranguito neighborhood in our downtown historic nomination application. It's hard to understand why they...
Okay, I'm terribly sorry, but we have a long agenda to get to, and we do understand that there are a lot of emotions involved with this issue, but we are here to judge the nomination based upon its merits only as presented to us. We have three more people waiting to speak, and then we have a long agenda to get to, so we have to move forward. So I do apologize. So the remaining three speakers, if you could, please limit your comments to 1 minute and the merits of the nomination only, please. That's the only thing that we need to hear about. Jim Scher, excuse me if I'm mispronouncing your name, from the El Paso Historic District. And then I've got two more people after you.
Can you hear me? Hello? One, two, three.
Yes, we can hear you, yes.
All right. My name is Jim Scher. My family in El Paso goes back to the turn of the century. I'm not talking about the 1900 to 2000. We go back to the 1800 to 1900s. I served on city council three terms. I created and wrote the El Paso Historic Department in El Paso for the city of El Paso. I'm very dedicated and responsible in the field of historic preservation. I personally own seven properties in the downtown area. One is on the National Historic Landmark, is a National Historic Landmark. I'm familiar with the requirements that have to go through to get qualified as a National Historic Building, as well as our local and state matters, though I haven't been through your process here. I also have one of the building that was changed over. It was a 100,000 square foot building that was designed by Trost. And that was probably one of his most beautiful projects that he ever did, but it was changed. And it's totally destroyed. It can't be used today and rehabilitated back to where it was with all the ornaments and stuff that was on the building. It was just beautiful. What is the purpose of having a historic overlay when the property?
Okay, and again, I do apologize, but we have to limit public commentary to 1 minute. We have two speakers left, please. Again, please keep your comments related to the merits of the nomination. Claudia Rodriguez, are you with us today?
Hello. We can hear you.
We can hear you. You're very quiet.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. My name is Claudia Lizette Rodriguez. I am the city representative for District 6 in El Paso, and I was recently elected on a platform to preserve our local history. I also hold a degree in architecture and historical preservation. I'm here today to just say I fully support the designation of our El Paso Downtown Historical District as is. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. And finally, we have, and I'm sorry, I only have your last name, but this is a Mr. or Mrs. Samaniego. Are you with us today?
Yes, I am. This is the County Judge Samaniego. And very quickly, I'm supporting a commissioner's court even before myself. And so just want to make sure that that's clear that you know, this has been an ongoing situation. And finally, my letter should be a self-explanatory. You already have it as a document, as you stated. But I'd like to say that we've had so many commissioner's courts and we had so many opportunities for public hearing.
Okay, thank you very much. We do appreciate all of the commentary, and I do apologize. I know that, again, there are a lot of different considerations involved with this nomination, but we simply have to move forward with the rest of our meeting. So I would ask Bonnie or Greg, can you please remind us of the nomination criteria for the National Register?
Can you see the screen? Can you see the screen? Okay.
I can.
These are the criteria as expressed in the nomination.
Okay, thank you very much. And again, I do understand that there are many people who have many different opinions on the nomination, but would again please just remind the board that we are here to judge the merits of the nomination solely based upon the documentation contained that we have received. And I would once again like to thank all of the participants for expressing their views to us here today, but to please understand that we simply have to move forward as we have quite a long agenda today. So with that being said, I will entertain a motion from the board.
Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. This is Sayla, and I move that we recommend this district for listing under Criterion A in the areas of ethnic history, community planning and development, and commerce, and Criterion C in the area of architecture at the local level of significance, which the documentation fully justifies.
Hi, this is Steve Klein, and I second it.
Okay, thank you, Sayla and Steve. Any comments from the board?
This is Steve, and I think, you know, the National Register nomination fully documents the district as proposed, and, appreciate the rich history of El Paso, having myself personally gone there in the last 25 years for work. It's just an incredibly wonderfully diverse district. And, certainly, as I said, what were entailed again, and appreciate all the information that was provided by you, Tim and Mark, about what our role is to look at the documentation and see that it, meets the requirements, and, fully believe that this nomination does meet the requirements for listing. Thank you.
And this is Sayla. I just want to say that I'm really happy to see this nomination come through. Having been to El Paso dozens of times and actually walking the streets, and you walk around and feel the authenticity of El Paso and just the culture through, the architecture. It's so rich and emblematic of the people that were there. I also thought that the nomination substantiated nomination as recommended for listing, but also was reflective of the people that make El Paso so special. And I was happy, and as we're considering and really intentionally looking at diversifying the National Register, saying that I was especially happy to see the component of people and just vernacular and working class architecture being recognized through designations alongside of commercial district.
Thank you, Selah. Other comments from the board?
This is Andrea Roberts. I'd like to hear from, if they're present, anyone who composed the nomination. While it's fully sufficient, I do want to have a better understanding of the rationale for the volume of buildings and why there wasn't some consideration of smaller sub-districts or other districts. I just want to get a better understanding of that.
Sure, thank you. Maybe Greg or Bonnie, if you'd like to speak to that.
Sure. Yes, this is Greg. What was actually first proposed was a huge district. It would have been among the largest in the state. I have on my desk right now the rest of the proposed district in its own nomination. That's called Segundo Barrio. And so it's everything to the south of downtown and going towards the east. And so that is currently under review. We anticipate it will be ready for the May State Board of Review meeting.
Thank you for that. And the reason for the order in which they were put forth is just that the one that you have on your desk is just not completed yet, or?
Right. My understanding is this one was funded first. The first proposal was something huge, and we reviewed that with our Park Service reviewer just to see, you know, if that met the guidelines of the Park Service, because it was so large. And with a lot of consultation at the local level, quite a bit, there was discussion as to how to cut this into more manageable pieces. Mm-hmm. And so the boundaries that you see here, and the general understanding of the downtown district to the north and Segundo Barrio to the south, that came to us from the county. That was the overall preference for doing it this way.
From the county, and then from the Park Service.
And the county is the applicant. It's the county of El Paso that has funded these nominations.
Absolutely. And so from the Park Service, just to so I have clarity, they opted for you to do the north first rather than the south first?
No, Park Service didn't have anything to do with the order. Okay. We reviewed these in the order received, and we received this one first.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other comments from the board?
This is Ben Kausch.
Ben, I think you're muted.
Can you hear me?
Yep, there you go.
Okay, sorry. I have a bad internet connection right now. I just, on the spreadsheet, the buildings with architects, I would like them to make an extra column and put the architects with all the other information. I know they pulled it out separately in a couple of the later sections of the application, but I thought it'd be nice to have it there as well.
This is Selah. I, under the statement of significance, I didn't see the level of significance stated there. So if we could please have a staff revise that would be great.
Okay.
Okay, any other comments from the board? Okay, so the motion before us is to include the Downtown El Paso Historic District under Criterion A, Ethnic Heritage, Community Planning and Development and Commerce, and Criterion C, architecture at the local level of significance. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. So I am going to propose that we take a 10-minute break so everyone can stretch their legs, do anything you need to do, and then we will reconvene and get through the rest of our nominations. So please come back and be ready to go by, not to be overly precise, but we'll just give it 10 minutes. So let's say 11:17 a.m.
And we will keep the Zoom meeting running. And then so we can just, you know, turn off your mic and your video as you step away, and then we can reconvene. But we'll keep the program going.
Okay, great. Thanks very much, Greg. So we'll all just take 10 and then we'll be back and get going again. Thank you.